We hear the Beatitudes a lot. We hear them at a bunch of funerals. We hear them at a bunch of weddings. It's the first option for both of those things. In fact, I had a funeral yesterday, and this was the reading that we had. We hear it a couple of times throughout the church year, just during daily masses, and we hear these Beatitudes a lot. And so sometimes that first sentence, it can get kind of lost because, you know, we hear it and we're like, oh, it's the Beatitudes today. And so we tune in right as the blesseds start. But we miss the first sentence. When Jesus saw the crowds, he went up the mountain. And after he had sat down, his disciples came to him. We can be tempted to think that this sentence is just there to set the scene, because in our modern age, books and words, they're cheap. It doesn't cost a whole lot to write 1,000 words down, and whether or not somebody reads it is a whole different question, right? But it's cheap to write them down. But when St. Matthew was writing, it was not. Every word had a cost, and so every word was important. And so he wouldn't tell us this unless he had a very good reason to do so. Matthew is speaking so often to the Jewish people. And so that helps us understand what he's trying to get at here. Because here and in many other places in his gospel, he's pointing back to Moses. At the Exodus, when they went to Mount Sinai, Moses went up the mountain with the crowd camped at the base, and he spoke with God. And then he came down the mountain and he began to teach. He taught them the word that God had spoken to them. And so what St. Matthew is trying to show us today is that Jesus Christ is the new Moses, and he is bringing the new law, which is the Beatitudes and so many other things that we hear in the Sermon on the Mount. And Jesus Christ, he has a leg up on Moses, because he does not go up the mountain and have to talk to God before he begins teaching. Everybody knew that Moses was teaching what God had told him. But Christ, when he begins teaching, he teaches on his own authority. He does not have to listen to the word of God before he begins to preach, because he is the word of God. And he can teach on his own authority. St. Matthew wants us to know this before he starts teaching us these beautiful Beatitudes. These Beatitudes are so often referred to as the new law. It is the way of Christian living. And it starts at the beginning with poverty of spirit, which can sometimes be reflected with actual material poverty. We see this in the life of the religious, especially, who take a vow of poverty. But at the core of it is being poor in spirit. Because those who are poor in spirit recognize that they are not God and they cannot get to heaven without God's help. They recognize there is a lack within them that must be filled by God. And when we recognize that, and when we set our eyes on God to follow him, that is when we start making that progress to joining the kingdom of heaven. And the rest follow in the same spirit. Blessed are those who mourn. Why are they blessed? Not because of their sadness, but because of what they're leaving behind. They're leaving behind the things of this earth, and sometimes that brings about a human sadness. Or perhaps sometimes they're mourning the loss of someone on this earth, as at a funeral. But God never allows his children to stay there. God will never allow that mourning to be unresponded. He always seeks to comfort his children with the best of comforts, and perhaps we have to wait to heaven until heaven to see this, but it will be there. Blessed are the meek. Those are the people who give up the power in this world, who don't seek to play those games, who give things up for the sake of others. They will never be left without. They will inherit the land, God says. Those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, again, recognize that they cannot get to heaven by themselves. Their souls seek more always. Now today we have a very good example of this because we can smell the pancakes they're cooking downstairs. At least I can. And so I hunger and thirst for pancakes. But it's the same principle, right? When we hunger and thirst for righteousness, God is even more generous than the Knights of Columbus will be. We will be satisfied. Those who are merciful have given up their right of justice against someone who has done something to them. That is what forgiveness and mercy are all about. Giving up our right in justice to get back at someone. And if we do that on this earth, God has promised us that he will treat us as we treat others. We pray that every time we pray the Our Father, don't we? Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And so if we are merciful, when we go to heaven and meet God, he will set aside those claims of justice against us as well. Blessed are the clean of heart. So often, our eyes and our hearts can get bombarded by the things of this world, and we call it the lust of the eyes, the lust of the heart, and it's exactly what it sounds like. But when those things are inside of us, they block our true vision. If we can only see the things of this world, then we can't see God and how he wants to break through it all. And so when we live with clean hearts, with clean eyes, with clean minds, then we can begin to see where God is every day of our lives. The peacemakers have given up this ability to get back at each other. Again, this ability that we have to inflict violence on each other. Instead, seeking to be united with our brothers and sisters, because in the kingdom of God, there can be no division, violent or otherwise. And we must seek peace to be called children of God. Because if we can't live with our brothers and sisters, then we're not going to be able to join him. And blessed are they who are persecuted for the sake of righteousness. Those are the people who recognize that there is nothing in this world that is more valuable than the love of God. They are willing to give even their lives for that. Those truly will receive the kingdom of heaven. But after we work our way through these eight Beatitudes, we come across one last blessed saying from Christ. He says, "Blessed are you when they insult you and persecute you and utter every kind of evil against you because of me." He doesn't say, "Blessed are they," he says, "Blessed are you." It's as if he knows that if we follow these other eight, if we are truly his disciples, we will suffer some of these things. We will be insulted. We will be persecuted. Evils will be uttered against us. But we are blessed because of that. How are we blessed when something like that happens? How is suffering possibly a blessing? It's because when we become holy, things start to oppose us. The devil, Satan, the demons, the spirits of this world do not want us to be happy. They do not want us to reach God. They do not want us to get to heaven. And so when they see us being faithful disciples of Jesus Christ, when they see us growing in holiness, they afflict us more and more, themselves or through their agents. Whether this is directly or through the people around us causing us pain in that way, they seek to try and stop us from knowing who God is. But that's how we know that we're blessed. Because if someone is fighting that hard to keep us from God, then we know we're on the right path. And we can rejoice and be glad, because we know we are going towards heaven. And we don't need to fear if we keep our eyes on Jesus Christ, because he has conquered it all. That's what he was doing on the cross. He conquered it all so that we could join him. And so, brothers and sisters, let's take refuge in the Lord, as Zephaniah tells us to. Let's fight to live these Beatitudes every single day of our lives and become true disciples of Jesus Christ. Because doing that is what's going to get each and every one of us to heaven.